Let me take a moment and talk about Riverside.fm. It allows you to record studio quality audio and up to 4K video. When you need to record audio and video, Riverside.fm can do it. So if you're looking for a hero platform for all your recording needs, from podcasts to webinars to any video content, Riverside.fm. I've got a promo code for you where you'll receive a 30% discount on the first 3 months of your subscription. I'll give it to you twice. The promo code is SHIPIT. All one word, ship it, and you'll pick up a 30% discount on your first 3 months of your subscription. Riverside.fm.
What's up, shipheads? It's draft day. We got another one coming your way. You know, Des and I have been really crushing these out of the gate here. We had some nice back and forth, really building a rivalry up there, but he's good practice for me. You know, at the end of the day, I'm going to need a challenge. I'm going to need to bring someone in that, you know, could really compete with me on my level. So we got Star Wars coming up in here. I had to bring another huge Star Wars fan. Anytime I come across this guy, it's a gentleman's challenge. It's always a battle to the ends, always going punch for punch. Had to bring in my man, Mr. Zach. How you doing, buddy?
Thank you for welcoming me on here. I'm excited to be here on this one-on-one types. Like, we've done the four-person fantasy drafts, and those are cool because you get somebody like Des on there who has some entertaining picks, but it's just kind of that low-hanging fruit, how easy it is to pick those apart. And I listened to the ones you did with Des, especially the horror genre one, building a horror team. And the level of strategy you put into that, it was pretty impressive, if not scary, or question how much time you have on your hands. But hey, that's what we come here for. It's to win, ultimately. And yeah, I'm excited to go to battle with you here, especially on Star Wars, that we're both such huge fans of, and we'll have a really good fight here, I think.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good. And you talk about the strategery of it and what we put into it. I know I'm going to get that from you. And I'm really excited, on one hand, to be doing our first one-on-one draft, facing off with a topic like Star Wars that we both love. I'm not going to lie, I'm a little intimidated, Zach. You have this reputation on our four-person drafts of being a little bit of a draft bully. Someone makes a pick, you're going to tear them apart. You're going to drag them up and down the draft board. And there's been occurrences where Des has walked off crying. People have just rage quit the show just because they can't handle it. I'm getting the full force here. Very excited, despite all that. And you and I feel like no matter what the matchup is, whether it's pick up basketball with our old junior warrior days, track and field, poker, Madden, I feel like we always go down to the wire with a lot of these things or kind of trade off. So this could be one for the ages. I rarely don't say that we could have the best episode ever, but I may drop it. This may be the best episode ever. I'm going to say it.
Well, yeah, you need someone to elevate your status, and you're not going to become the best by drafting with Des all day, every day. You might rack up some wins.
That might some speed bag.
Might make you feel good. But are you getting better? You have to play up to your competition. You got to play with the best to be the best. Ultimately, these things are about winning. I can't stand when we get on these fantasy drafts and people just, oh, that's a great pick. Oh, yeah, I love that pick. It's about winning, man. You got to sell your pick. You got to tear other people down. It's like, you know, ultimate Mel Kiper, Todd McShay getting fully heated at right. Battle. That's what I want when I go at these. So the one-on-one with you, I think we'll have a good rivalry going, and it should be fun.
I love it. Looking forward to it. So Star Wars, obviously growing up, childhood, big parts of both of our lives. I always loved the movies. We actually differ a little bit where I lean more to the sequel side. You lean more to the prequel side. Yeah, we've had some very entertaining debates and conversations off of that. I will give you credit for being one of the more early adopters on some of the animated series for Star Wars. You were really one of those early adopters on those, dove in, and then really made the case of like, hey, there's like some really great storylines, really great characters, a really great influence on what the ultimate universe could be from that show. And you got me into that. So show you some respect there. But I think in terms of a lot of the films themselves, these characters, all beloved characters for you and I, and really interested to see as we start getting into the team by team dynamic, where for this draft, we're doing a battle royale style. So we're drafting 17 rosters, kind of open characters, but all from the live action adaptations of Star Wars. So we can have call outs to some of the anime characters if they show up in the movie or a live action show. But you can't draft the version from, say, the Clone Wars animated series or anything like that. So as we start to look at this, I'm really curious to see what characters you're going to jump on. How are you going to weight different things for a battle royale style, which could be a little bit of a different ballpark compared to some other topics we could play around with from Star Wars universe.
Yeah, and it is kind of crazy just to think about how big the Star Wars universe has become, especially if you're someone who grew up for a long time just on the original trilogy. We've got three trilogies of movies, the two Star Wars story movies, and now, yeah, the Disney Plus series with a couple more that they've already set up. So there's going to be even more of those coming. Really cool how it's expanded. And so when you talk about Star Wars and how big the galaxy is now, yeah, you could try to just line up a team with full of powerful Jedi and Sith Lords. But do we know if this battle could be taking place on just a planet? What type of planet is it going to be? Could some of the battle take place out in space? So do you have to think about the other types of characters that exist in the Star Wars universe, not just the powerful Jedi and Sith Lords we often think about, but can you work some other skill sets into here? So look forward to how creative you and I can get with this and put together a team that's just all around going to do well, whether you're on Hoth or Tatooine or or out in the Kessel, doing the Kessel run, whatever it is.
As long as there's no sand, I'll be fine. Hate sand.
That's a trigger word.
Yeah, and we have some big name characters here. As we look at these first few picks, I will be opening it up. Then I'll go to Zach for two back-to-back, and then we'll keep that two-pick structure throughout the rest of the draft, and then Zach will close at the end with his last pick. So as we look at these first few powerful people here in these first few slots, it'll be interesting to see kind of where the dominoes fall from there. But this is one I'm kind of happy having the first overall pick here, just be able to kind of grab who I want for this. And then it's a deeper roster or a deeper talent pool, you could say. So getting some top tier talent off the board, I feel like I can kind of leverage some of my later picks for some specific reasons to kind of round out my team. But with me opening up the first and you taking the second round pick, how you kind of feel going into the opening of the draft here?
There is definitely someone who I have in mind for the first, or who I would want with the first, if I had the first overall pick, but there is a lot of power at the top. So I don't think it'll ultimately kill me whichever way you go with this first pick. And maybe it's better in this one to have the next two picks to get, bolster my roster with two of the top tier talent, not necessarily a runaway number one, but I do have someone in mind. So we'll see where you go.
We shall see. We shall see. I will open up here. I am on the clock. First overall pick. When I look at this, there's some big names. I think there's some fan favorites here that some people may push to the top, but this is a battle royale. Okay. You want someone that's going to have the power, strike fear in the opponents, ultimately be a leader for your team. I think I'm eyeing someone here that can check a lot of those boxes. I'm going to lock down the big bad. I'm going to go with Darth Sidious here. I think that he's someone that can bring a whole lot of layers at you with the power. He's got lightning coming from his fingers. He can play the Frank Underwood politics game. You know, whatever what I need, he can do that. And he's going to last generations. As long as this battle will last, he's going to be there. You kill him, he's going to come back and, you know, however that way they brought him back, whatever that he's going to be able to do it, you know, hook him up to some tubes and stuff and his soul, whatever, clones, he's going to keep coming at you. Just when you think he's fully gone, he's going to come right back at you there. So lockdown Darth Sidious, I feel like top tier pound for pound power across the board. And you know, I think you got to show some respect to the dark side of the force here, which it traditionally is a little bit more powerful when we're talking about battle royale style here.
Sure. There's something to be said for unlimited power, right? And I do love, one of the things I really love about the prequels is the political game and that Sidious plays behind the scenes. I think that's underrated in a lot of people's eyes when they look at those movies. So I respect that for his strategy. I do hate that you even alluded to the nonsense that they brought him back with in the Rise of Skywalker.
Doesn't really matter, though. It doesn't matter. He's back.
I kind of want to just forget about that. I don't know if that's even really him or what the hell even that was, but I will give you the point is noted on his longevity. He was an emperor for a long time. You know, that's hard to do, to rule an entire galaxy for a long time. I don't know if I would have gone that way if I had the first pick. I was kind of thinking of somebody else here. Sidious, for all of his power, he does have a giant ego, which is ultimately his downfall. And I'm going to get right into my two picks here. First, I'm taking who I would have taken first, the one who a lot of people can consider maybe the better villain, even in Star Wars, someone who even took down Darth Sidious at his end, Darth Vader.
Cheap shot. Sure. Okay.
Spitting facts, but Darth Vader, the iconic, the one who's more ultimately intimidating, more memorable character, but we've seen even more over the years of how badass he truly is when you unleash his powers, like that end scene in Rogue One, because we hadn't seen a lot in the original trilogy of, you know, Darth Vader, what he was like at the height of his powers. So seeing that scene where he's just mowing down everybody was so cool. The best part of that movie, really. And Anakin, you get kind of the best of both worlds with the dark side and the good side. He knows both very well. He can work all sides of the force. And you look at the numbers, his midichlorian count is off the charts, people.
You know, he did set some high scores at the combine with midichlorians, but has some concerns from an endurance standpoint. Look at, you know, the lung capacity, and this is a little battle royale. We could be going for a really long time here.
And that's why we had his arms and legs replaced. Robotic. Don't get tired.
But there's a guy jumping that little pod thing, you know, to take his helmet off and kind of take a little cat nap to recharge. You know, what's the battery life on those? Is it Duracell? Is it Energizer? A lot of questions. I think that there's the myth of Vader. And even from the original trilogy, Darth Sidious was, you know, a pretty imposing foe. You saw him with the lightning ability and just easily dictating and controlling any situation he needed. But it wasn't until that Rogue One scene that we really saw, like, Darth Vader for why people feared him, why he was such a renowned Sith Lord. So I'll give you some props for that. But
so that's nice of you.
I have some questions, you know, on just his overall ability. Yeah, we talked about the cheap shot that you called out. I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to bring it up. But
oh, yeah.
Sure, he can stand right behind Sidious and then get him when he least expects it. We're in a battle royale. He's not going to have that opportunity. So I don't know what you're going to do. Even throughout that, he basically killed himself while doing it. It's kind of like a Voltorb, like, you know, explosion type of technique. And Vader starts walking at him. He does that. Vader's done. Circuits are fried. So.
Well, if both guys are done, I took out your number one pick and my number one pick. Now I've got the first overall pick, really, if we're starting the draft over now.
Wait, no. How did that just happen? We'll see. We'll have to see. Can I get some defense on here? You know, a lot of draft left to go, Zach.
There is. And so I'm glad I've got another pick to back that up right now. So get a little 2-on-1 handicap right here against Sidious. Another character, I think this is probably the last character you could make any kind of case for the number one overall spot. We've talked a lot about the dark side, but let's get back to the light side of the force. And probably the most legendary Jedi of all time is Yoda. For his wisdom, his abilities, you want to talk about longevity. How long was he? Over 900 years old? Just regular life. And Yoda has worked with Anakin in the past. They have a good, mostly positive working relationship, at least early in Anakin's life. So they can get right back into the swing of things now that they're on the same team again. Yoda's trained many Jedi, He's probably the wisest of anyone in the Star Wars universe of the Force. And we saw how kick-ass he is with a lightsaber as well in the prequels. And Yoda also has gone toe-to-toe with Sidious in Revenge of the Sith. They fought basically to a stalemate there. So I've got two guys who one-on-one could take down Sidious. I think that's a good place for me to start.
Yeah, I think he's kind of the other one at play in terms of you look at like someone that could go number one overall. And I think ultimately Sidious can take out Vader pretty easily if it was a face-to-face matchup. But we saw him and Yoda play out. I think that's going to be a fair fight. The concern I have on him is, you know, we're getting the heat of the battle here. Maybe your team starts losing a bit. And then you turn around like, where'd Yoda go? Oh, he's in some swamp for 200 years. Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess we'll keep on going then without him.
He only does that if the battle is lost, not during the battle.
Well, that's going to happen quick. I don't have to tell you there, bud. So if I take out Sidious and Vader in that kind of one-off thing, then
do you automatically lose standing Yoda? On top. He's not going to leave at that point.
I don't know. Some commitment issues and dependability, I guess you could say. But
Dagobah is a nice getaway place.
Nice retirement home.
Yeah. Can't blame him for that.
All right. So I do think that looking at the top three, those are like pretty set in stone, like pure power ones. I think out of all those, I just like having Sidious for what he can offer and having a little bit of the nasty side to him, you know, with the being the bad guy where Vader is going to be kind of wishy-washy back and forth. Yoda, you know, we talked about Yoda. But now I have two back-to-back here. Now it starts to swing back to my side for how can I monopolize on some additional power as we start matching up these top few roster spots here side by side. You already talked about Vader and Yoda versus Sidious. Now how can I kind of answer that with some complementary pieces? Next one, I'm probably going to go with my favorite character from the prequels, hand down. I think overall, he's probably up there number two for overall favorite character of the whole franchise series itself. We're going to lock down Obi-Wan here. I think he's one that you see kind of a few generations of the Obi-Wan character where you get kind of the young Padawan, a little bit more ruthless, just kind of running into battle. And then he really ultimately becomes the youngest master in kind of the history of the council after he defeats Darth Maul and kind of rising up the ranks, being a really well-respected warrior. And then you see him to start to come more the wise Obi-Wan. And you talk some about some of that mentorship and watching over young Luke and kind of guiding him on his path. So he kind of checks a lot of boxes there. But I like just kind of peak Obi-Wan, his ability to go head to head against pretty much anything the dark side can offer and throw at them. You looked at Darth Maul, you looked at Dooku, you looked at all these guys, Grievous. Obi-Wan's the one going up against them for the most part. So he's not going to be scared of a challenge. He's just going to be another just all-around great fighter to add to my roster. So I'll definitely lock him down fourth overall here to close out the second round.
Certainly a fan favorite character, and I like that you gave the respect to the prequels for that, nailing that character. He's someone who's really good all around. He is wise. He is a skilled warrior. I don't think he's top tier in any of those categories, just kind of does everything pretty well. I feel like he's kind of like one of those guys who's a really good college basketball player, really, you know, player of the year type guy. But does he have what it takes to compete in the NBA night after night? You know, like a Tyler Hansbrough, somebody like that. Is he going to be able to match up
Tyler with Hansbrough,
Yoda,
Darth
and
Maul,
Darth Vader,
General Grievous, Dooku?
Well, he
went
got
up against all of them.
He got pretty murked by Dooku twice.
Yeah, but he still went up
Yoda
against
had to
him
come and clean up for him. And Anakin was the one who ended up killing Dooku on his own because Obi-Wan couldn't keep up. So I'm talking about, he doesn't have that top level talent ability.
Well, you know, Darth Maul, General Grievous.
Yeah, Grievous. Yeah, I know you're a big Grievous fan with his coughing and talk about lung problems.
Right. Yeah, that's I don't know if he's showed up on my draft board. I'll tell you that. But
he's a sleeper for me, for sure. Don't steal, though.
Yeah. So I respect he is a well-rounded person. He can offer a lot of things. He can, you know, be a pilot if he needs to. He can obviously throw out of battle. He can, yeah, but he can do perform as a pilot. He can be a general and a leader. We saw some of that with kind of the expanded canon with the animated series of him kind of being the General Kenobi. So I like having him. I think he's kind of on my board. He's easily the next one up after those top three there. Open up the third round here, third spot. So I have Sidious, Obi-Wan. I'm going to get some family connection going here. I'm going to bring in Rey. I'm going to corner the market on lightning fingertips. I got that. And then just look at pure raw talent where you have Sidious, who's a little bit older. He's shown his longevity, his ability to maintain his power throughout a long duration. Rey is young. She's hungry. And just that raw, pure, untapped potential. There's no saying how great and how powerful she can become as we're moving forward here in this battle. So I like just the upside of her. And then even at a baseline, I think she's someone that's going to immediately be a threat for you to account for on your team.
You know what? That is actually a great pick, because the way this character is written, she is almighty from the very start. The moment she steps on the screen, she is unstoppable without learning a thing. So, yeah,
I don't know if it's congratulations. That's
great. Great, great pick. Just the character that they gave all the powers to right away. Nothing earned.
I feel like you're sucking the wind out of my sails by complimenting me.
Switching up my strategy mid-draft.
Yeah, yep.
Attack you with Obi-Wan, but now coming back playing good cop with Rey.
You know what? The fans will complain about anything. So
you're right about that. But no, it's seriously though, she does have a lot of raw talent. I don't know how the relationship would really play out with Sidious and Rey. I don't know if she really likes him. I don't know how they would actually get along if they spent some quality time together, you know, go to the ice cream shop, you know, do typical grandfather, granddaughter type activities.
That's, blow up some planets together, you know, age old fun.
Right. Is Rey on board with that stuff, though? I think that they kind of differ a little bit. So I see what you're going for, the apple and the tree and trying to keep that legacy going there. But I don't know if I want to jump into my next pick off of that point, though, because if you're going to build a team around a family in the Star Wars saga, why would you go Palpatine and not Skywalker? So I've got Darth Vader, got Anakin, got his buddy Yoda, and got the son and someone who Yoda trained, Luke Skywalker. My team is meshing together quite well. Luke, one of the greatest Jedi definitely of all time. And if you haven't finished the latest season of The Mandalorian, spoiler warning right now, I guess jump ahead 30 seconds. But Luke Skywalker showing up in The Mandalorian and seeing him kind of younger and being fully developed as a Jedi kind of after Return of the Jedi, and seeing what he can really do, kind of like in the same vein as, well, we got to see more badass stuff with Vader and Rogue One. So I think from chemistry, I'm really rocking it right now in this draft, and also great value, I think, on Luke Skywalker in the third round, one of the OGs.
You can have him.
You're not a Luke fan?
I'm not a Luke fan. I love the movies and the storyline and kind of where they take the character, but you know, it's kind of fragile ground you're standing on by building these huge cases off of these like quick ending credit scenes. You know, well, we saw like 2 minutes of Vader, like what he could really do, and it was like awesome. And then Luke, well, in that last scene of The Mandalorian, like we actually saw it, and like it was pretty cool, right? The whole rest of the movie, how much are they really doing? And honestly, Anakin, you probably see some more battles of worth from a lightsaber battle, even with some of the prequel stuff and who he's matching up again. But in the original trilogy, what is Luke really accomplishing? So he had a lucky shot in the first one.
Blowing up the Death Star. Yeah.
Lucky shot. Someone could argue Obi-Wan helped direct that. Fast forward to the next one. Gets his arm cut off. Loses. Cuts to the third one, gets immediately captured, needs R2-D2 to bail him out from Jabba.
It's all part of the plan.
Faces off against his dad again, loses. Sidious is about to kill him, requires a cheap shot from his dad again to save him. I mean, people just constantly need to bail him out. And then, you want me to bring up the sequel, Zach? I'll do it. Another
Please
one.
Please don't.
Oh no, we're losing a little bit. Oh no, where's Yoda? Oh, I don't know. Where's Luke? Oh, I don't know. They all ran away. Luke tried to murder some of his kids and then ran away. I don't know. So character flaws, I think he's the idea of Skywalker is honestly a little bit blown out of proportion compared to what actually happened on paper. So I think you start matching these up. I think Rey accomplished so much more in her tenure and her growth. And it may be a hot take, but you know, you got to bust them out in these fantasy drafts, in these movie drafts to... I'm not going to sugarcoat it, Zach. It's the God-ass truth. I don't know what you want me to tell you.
Just a little surprised you're putting this fantasy draft over our friendship. Calling out Luke for trying to murder his nephew. You know I can't stand that part, and it's totally out of character for Luke, and it should be erased from Star Wars lore, but...
You know, if I have to sacrifice my standing on the sequels for our prequel sequel discussion to get a leg up in the fantasy draft, I'm going to do it.
I won't give up on the prequels like that. That's one road I'm not willing to go down. But Luke definitely accomplished so many things. I don't think you could really discredit him for that. Still, I think the end of the third round is... incredible value for one of the most legendary Jedi. Everybody's heard of him.
Could have got him in the seventh.
They talk about him in the sequel trilogy. Oh, the Luke Skywalker. Wow, yeah, that's that guy who did all that stuff. It's true, all of it.
Did he, or did people just make it up, or did someone else do it? He took credit for it.
Han said it's true.
All of it.
All of it.
That's not how it works.
Except the part about him kissing his sister, that's made up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You want to bring up character flaws? How about that, Zach?
They're a close family.
All right. So back to you for another one. Let's see it. Maybe you can
yeah, I got
redeem
my fourth
yourself
round
this
pick
next
now.
Pick. After that fiasco Luke pick. Jeez.
So now we're... Can't believe I took Luke Skywalker in the third round. That's outrageous. So we get some more interesting picks now. We've got the... All the Palpatines, most of the Skywalkers out of the way. So we're getting all the big families out of here. The Yodas, the Obi-Wans. So where do you go to next now? I'm going to stick with a Jedi here because I think there's still a lot of power left on the table here in the fourth round. Someone who, hey, look, it's another character who went toe-to-toe with your number one overall pick, Darth Sidious, Mace Windu. One of the most feared, revered Jedi from a combat standpoint of all time. The purple lightsaber, so intimidating, so badass. He had Sidious. He could have just killed him right there. He basically beat him. Anakin ruined that a little bit, so we'll work that out. But seriously, Mace Windu at this point, if you get down to a one-on-one sword battle, I don't know if you have anyone who could really compete with Mace Windu here.
I mean, I start looking at your roster and what you're building it on. You got Vader, you got Luke, you got Mace. Let me just give you a hand, Zach, because you're really going to need it. Because all these guys are just losing limbs left and right. And
everyone in Star Wars loses a limb. That's a rite of passage.
Rey and Obi-Wan did not lose it. I mean,
Sidious he just lost his whole corpse.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Windu... Cut you straight. He's a great fighter. He's one of the best, most feared lightsaber from a technique standpoint, kind of creating this brand new style of combat. So he's definitely someone I'm going to have to account for on the field of battle. When push comes to shove, yeah, maybe Mace takes a swing at Sidious, maybe takes a run at him. Will I be able to play little mind tricks on your boy Vader there? How much is he going to be influenced by Sidious and...
Not again.
Little whispers in his ear. Is he going to be turning on his team? You know, it's happened before. I'm just saying.
I think he'll be just fine to get a guy in the fourth round who could just go at your, even make a match with your number one guy. That's finding value in the draft.
Yeah, we want to talk about finding value. I think you look at 7-on-7 matchups. Where can you start getting an advantage? Where can you start kind of doubling some people up, playing the numbers game to get a little bit of advantage? Talk about people that are just purely talented from a technique standpoint. When we talk about a lightsaber battle and what they can contribute and bring to the team, I'm going to bring in Darth Maul here. This is someone that you could have two Jedis on your side, two Sith Lords. It doesn't matter. Darth Maul can account for two of them at any given time. And, you know, will he be able to take them down? We'll see. Maybe takes down one of them, like we saw in the prequels. But at least he's enough to distract them, to kind of monopolize on some of your numbers there. And even if you have a super talented fighter, keep him at bay for as long as I need to, while my other guys get an advantage having an extra person for you to account for. And you don't really have the numbers to back it up. So I'll take that for some late round value here to close out the fourth.
He can dance around with two guys for a little while, a young Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon Jinn. What do we really know about Qui-Gon's skills? And he was only able to kill Qui-Gon when Obi-Wan was trapped behind the pink wall. So
this is Star Wars, really? Zach. Every single room we're going to be in is going to have one of those. It's going to be constructed, no safety guidelines. People are going to be stuck behind walls, falling down endless shafts. It's the lay of the land.
I did not read the fine print in this draft. If I had known that, Maul would have been higher on my board. But really, you just got to know his one move. That's how he ultimately dies in the end in Rebels. He tries the same move, and you just come down the middle of that thing, right down the middle, and he's done. So he's a one-trick pony, basically, is what I'm saying. He looks cool with his fancy flips, and the double-ended lightsaber was a cool gimmick to bring in for episode one.
But does that have
the lasting power? If that was really such a great thing from episode one on, wouldn't you have seen more people trying that, more Jedi or Sith trying the double-ended lightsaber if it was such a great advantage?
I mean, like you're saying, it's like a little gimmick, a one-trick pony, things like that. We had a few battles in that all looked awesome. And then kind of an extended like 19-minute fight for that finale. I'll take that one-off trick compared to your 2-minute ending credit scene that you're waiting your entire team off of. So
yeah, where my guys actually kill people and not just jump from platform to platform and hide between walls.
He's distracting your numbers. He's given me a clear body advantage. And even if it's just keeping him at bay, maybe it's enough where he can take out, maybe if it's just one guy, that's fine, I'll take that. If he's distracting you where I can monopolize and maybe take out Yoda or take down Vader because I have two guys coming at you, that's going to be a clear advantage on the field of battle.
We'll see. I mean, just look at our last two picks. I think Windu and Maul would be a pretty epic fight. I think that
it would be.
Windu could go up against him one-on-one. I don't think he would need backup for that, but that would be a pretty excellent fight.
Yeah, it's a lot to guarantee that he's going to be able to have enough going on around him to clearly focus on just Maul and have no one else in the field of battle that he needs to account for. So We'll see. That's why we draft the rosters and let the fans decide. That's why you got to play the game. So I have another pick here. Open up the fifth round. I think we got a lot of the pure talent Jedis and Siths locked down. Now I think you start to see some drop off value on those. I think you got to start mixing it up with some of these other picks to get some extra variety. You can't just go too heavy in the Force when you look at all the other things that people can contribute in the universe of Star Wars. So I'm going to bring in someone that has truly become a fan favorite. I'm going to bring in the Mandalorian here. You get a bounty hunter, and we're talking about Battle Royale. We're going to need someone that can go out and track down anyone I need to, bring them down, lock them down, you know, either kill them or restrain them, whatever we need to do. He's just trained in that. And is a bounty hunter in a little bit over their head in a battle royale with a bunch of Siths and Jedis? Yeah, you could easily make that case. But look at this. Look at this armor this guy's rocking. Oh, you got a lightsaber? That's cool. Can't even penetrate me. Oh, you want to actually go fist to cuffs here and go a few rounds? Oh, I got the staff that I can go and actually fight back against your lightsabers. which no other bounty hunter is going to be able to do, or any fighter outside of a Sith and a Jedi, honestly. So I love locking down everything that a bounty hunter has to offer, plus having the value that he can actually hold his own with all these other people that have already been drafted.
There's a lot of utility that comes with a bounty hunter, and that's starting to get into what other characters can we draft. A bounty hunter makes a lot of sense here. So, yeah, and really what, yeah, makes him valuable, like you said, is his armor and his spear. But if he somehow loses his Beskar spear, he's kind of screwed, and
he still can just
the do armor doesn't
Wonder Woman, you know, just blocking with his arms and kicking and
yeah, just defense, just try to outlast everybody,
just fly away and just hover around and just shoot people.
Well, in the go back to the prequels, episode two, we saw that Mandalorian armor doesn't extend up on the neck, and Mace Windu was able to come right at Jango Fett and slice his head clear off. So I've got experience dealing with bounty hunters on my team, and I don't see that being a...
Apparently Windu is taking down my entire team. I guess I didn't plan for this.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a little
Samuel
busy
L. Jackson
dealing
with a purple
with
lightsaber. What did you think? What did you think this was?
That's true.
Mando's great, though. We'll see. We get more of him. You know, it's I feel like he's maybe still a little throughout the show that we've seen so far. He's still kind of finding his way. So is he prepared for a big battle like this? Yeah, we'll see. But
he went up against the Dark Saber. It's pretty good.
If he can earn it in battle, yeah. So, all right. So now for my next two picks. Yeah, I think where we hit it last with Windu and Maul, I see the same thing you did with kind of a drop off with the remaining Force users. So I want to take the best pilot around, because maybe you do have to get from planet to planet. Who knows how big in scale this battle is going to be, or what kind of situation you could come across where you might need to get someplace fast, or you find yourself in a chase. Someone's blasting at you. Who's going to be better at that than Han Solo, who still has the world galaxy record time for the Kessel run? So he's the fastest pilot out
there. Still holding.
Best maneuverability, still holding. And he's really handy with a blaster in his hand, too. So you start getting some long range aspects in our battle. It can't all just be Jedi and Sith hand to hand combat. So one of the best scoundrels out there with a blaster in his hand. The best ship ever in Star Wars. The best pilot. I'll take Han Solo. Give me a little leg up from the pilot and the battling out in space aspect.
Here's the thing, Zach. I'm not going to say
I know you're not
going to
badmouth Han Solo.
next pick. I just pausing for dramatic effects. But yeah, I got nothing.
All right. So moving on. I knew you wouldn't do that with Han. It must have cut deep for you there. I'm a little curious, you know, maybe why you took Mando over Han Solo when you had the chance.
It comes down to be able to actually withstand a lightsaber. I think that's just a huge value add for these expanded roster characters. Han was my next one up. I honestly probably would have made the case for Han over Maul, possibly, to see if he would fall. But yeah, that's where I didn't know if you would have picked him up, and I didn't want to give you an extra advantage on having an extra saber wielder on your end.
Yeah, all very tough considerations when you get deep into these drafts.
Sometimes you got to just play the board, you know?
Yeah, just go with the best available player. That's all mm-hmm. you can do.
Yep.
All right, so yeah, I've got my next pick here. This is starting the sixth round. We each have two spots left. And I do like what you did with Mando. I do think there is a lot to be said for the bounty hunter skill set in this battle royale. They have a unique kind of ship that has all kinds of these charges, weapons that you can shoot off of it. The armor that helps them in battle, the jetpacks, all the weaponry, the gadgets. So I think that's a unique skill set that is very useful at some point in this battle royale. And it might seem like I'm taking the second best bounty hunter out there, but I definitely didn't want you to have two. I thought maybe if I didn't pick this guy now, maybe you would try to grab him and then I'd be kind of out of luck for the next bounty hunter after this. So I'm going with Boba Fett, and who's obviously always been a fan favorite character. And now after, this is going to sound silly after the arguments you made for me with my, what I said about Vader and Luke, but look at what they did with Boba Fett in the little time he's been in The Mandalorian. He was so badass.
He's we got, finally like a really got heavy to stick. See it. And he hits it really, really hard.
He murked like 50 stormtroopers with a stick. And this proves finally.
He's a little bit overweight. I don't know. He got to get back down to fighting weight, I think.
Well, he sat around in a Sarlacc pit for years. So finally, after fans theorized for years that he would, you know, you eat the off the walls. You got to survive somehow.
It's so, like all you can eat buffet. He's just like going back for seconds. I think you'd be cutting some calories on that.
Yeah. He had nothing else to do in there. But it finally proves that he did make it out of the Sarlacc pit,
right,
which to our knowledge, nobody else has ever done. That's badass. He's always had this reputation for being the best bounty hunter in the galaxy. So I think while Mando maybe is a little newer at this, Boba Fett has more of the proven track record of being to get the bounties and being able to work his way out of all kinds of situations. And what we've seen out of him already in Mandalorian, we're going to get the Book of Boba Fett series, which I think will make this pick look even better in time. Analysts will look back in a couple years and think, man, how did Bull pick Mando over Boba Fett? That was the pick of the draft.
Okay, until we get the next season of Mandalorian when he doesn't have to worry about a babysitter. And he's just unleashed.
Well, do we really care about him without Grogu, though?
It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. This is interesting. I think that you look at the draft like this, there are set people you want that are force-enabled, basically, that can add that element. And then there's those other pockets. I think Bounty Hunter is one of those pockets. A pilot is the other pocket. Ship battles, that's going to come into play. It's a Star Wars themed battle, so it's going to come at play. So this is where we get a little bit of moves and counter moves. You know, maybe someone jumps on someone, you got to answer it. That's fine. Maybe there's a little bit of drop off. That's fine. What's the trade-offs for those? So I felt looking at it that the bounty hunters were going to go. I thought Mandalorian offered a unique offering that Boba Fett couldn't answer, that I really valued him a little higher in that regard. And from the pilot standpoint, I'm going to have to address that. But I think there's so many people on the Jedi and the Sith side that can pilot, that can be competent pilots, that are really skilled, like someone like Rey, that can hold her own and take over and just have that natural ability. So I'm going to answer here to your Han Solo pick. I'm going to pick up Poe, probably my favorite from the sequels. In terms of the character, he's just checking every box that Han Solo is offering to viewers, right? That like quip attitude, the kind of gunslinger going into battle, really caring for, you know, leadership orders and things like that, kind of being to his own drum, but at the end of the day, coming through in the clutch. And oh, you're going to argue there's not similarities between Poe and Han Solo?
I'm just surprised that you're even putting him in the category that like he's the new Han Solo.
I think he checks a lot of those boxes, Zach. I think you're far-fetched to say he doesn't.
Does he have the swagger? Does he have the moxie?
Poe doesn't have swag. Is it Han Solo level? No, I'm not going to make that case. But does he have swagger? Yes.
I don't know. I don't think his Kessel run time is a little lacking. It was a little slow at the combine. He does spend a lot of time arguing with authority, and I don't think in as cool of a way as Han Solo did it, just kind of trying to be like the new Han Solo. I don't know if it worked quite as well. I had high hopes for Poe, and he had his moments, sure, in the sequel trilogy. Definitely one of the best characters come from those films, but definitely not the a very talented pilot, sure. So you got one. You had to get one, and you got one late, so good for you.
I mean, I'd say that the value offering that the Mandalorian's bringing with his ability to actually stand within 2 feet of someone with a lightsaber is a little bit more of a value add than the drop off of Han Solo to Poe from a pilot standpoint.
Boba Fett can do that too. His armor is at least partially Beskar.
Okay. So if Darth Maul walks by him, you don't think he's going to be able to hit any of those spots with his two lightsabers?
It's the same thing as Mando. They got their weak spots.
Mando has much better coverage. And he's got his spear. Can't discount the spear just for overall defensive ability.
People underestimate the stick, though, and that gets them in trouble.
Is that going to stop a lightsaber?
It doesn't have to stop it. Just has to distract. Sweep the leg.
What was he doing? Like little like cheer, like floating in the air and a little.
You look up
a little routine.
And the next thing you know, pops a little blaster into your foot.
This is a very convenient set of events that will be happening. Okay, so I'm fine having that extremely talented piloting ability this late in the round to be able to check that box. And like I said, cool, we got Han Solo. He can pilot the Millennium Falcon. I have a bunch of other people that can pilot the Millennium Falcon. I have a bunch of other people that can pilot ships.
That's a low blow.
It's not going to be, when we get into a space battle, it's not going to be just clean pickings for you going through. Where I think, look at someone like Boba Fett, sure, there's a lot of things he could do, yes, but he could easily be taken out in 5 minutes in a battle with Jedis and Sith Lords. So it's a different game, Zach. Got to be prepared for it. Come on.
What's Poe's signature ship? He's just going to drive a generic X-Wing?
Yeah. He does a damn well fine job with it.
All right.
He can also, if he needs to do a TIE fighter too, he could do that too.
Yeah, that's,
he can
that's
fly
a great
anything,
ship.
Zach. He can fly anything. So I have one more pick here. Now it gets really interesting as we start to close out the draft. I think we each started to check some boxes here. I think the next obvious pick is to get a droid, right? To lock that down. You know, get some
more
C-3PO. I'm not going to do that. I think that you look at that drop-off that happens. I think there's still some guys that are competent that you got to account for, that if you get some late value adds, that can offer the Force, that can offer you wielding a lightsaber as part of your team, that can pilot if they need to. Because basically everyone in this universe can pilot, Zach. You know, I think it's
except the ones who hate flying like Obi-Wan.
Late round value. I'm going to lock down Dooku. I think you made some very interesting points earlier about how well he held his own against another 2-on-1 scenario with Obi-Wan and Anakin. And look at what he was able to do. And basically take them out both easily. And then going against Yoda, holding his own against Yoda, one of your top picks there. I have someone in the 7th round that's going to be able to go toe-to-toe with Yoda. So I will gladly add him on at the end of the draft here. And I think that's going to be really hard for you to answer from a Jedi and Sith breakdown, just top-to-bottom talent that I have at this point.
I do like Dooku. That's probably your best pick of this draft. There's just something about that bent hilt in the lightsaber. I'm not sure what it does or why it makes him such an effective fighter, but just having that slight bend in the handle.
It's very ergonomic. You don't get arthritis. You don't get carpal tunnel.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Double ended lightsaber. Dumb, but a little elbow in it. I love that. But yeah, you know, him and I just don't know about your team here, Sidious and him, and Maul. There's all kinds of bad blood between those three, turning on each other, playing that game of who's going to be the most powerful, who's really Sidious's right-hand guy. So you're going to have a lot of infighting there. And Anakin, it did ultimately take out Dooku, so I'm not going to, you know, be ultimately worried about him. Yoda can take him out. You know, Windu could probably take him out too. It's good value for sure at this point in the draft, but it might be too little too late for your team at this point and kind of wrecking your team chemistry even more.
So half your team's going to lose arms, and then the other half, Dooku's just going to go through and hit him in the legs.
They already lost him. They can't lose him again. They'll be fine.
All right. Mr. Irrelevant, last pick here, Zach. Can you at least give yourself a fighting chance to at least have a conversation here on who's going to win?
Oh, yeah. I can end this with an exclamation point here. got to think about the droids a little bit. How are you going to turn off garbage disposals if you end up in that situation? You could be screwed if you get your whole team in there. But no, I guess there is one other Force user who recently became eligible for this draft based on the rules that we made up, because Ahsoka Tano appeared in The Mandalorian. She's going to get her own series coming up. Can't wait for that. This has always been a fan favorite character from her time in the Clone Wars. Showed up in Rebels as well. Learned from Anakin. So we've already got team chemistry with Vader and Ahsoka. Learned from one of the best. So Ahsoka's got a lot of great skills. She wields two lightsabers, so that's way better than also having one that has just two ends. Why not just give yourself the ability to use two at once, one in each hand? And she's got a good head on her shoulders. She walked out on the Jedi Order because she's a badass and because she didn't like what they were doing in the Clone Wars. Oh, another one that
just left? She looked around. Oh, where is she? Where'd she go? Half my team's gone.
Because they weren't doing the right thing, but she's gonna help them make sure they stay in the right direction on this. We've got a lot of great cohesiveness with my squad. I think Ahsoka really helps
glue this team together. They're gonna look great.
And she's a great battler as well at the end of this draft. So her and Dooku could be a good battle at the end of this as well. So I think I capped it off with a lot of power there and team chemistry, strategy. I think my team's got everything here.
Yeah, she really blew me away when she killed a few anonymous henchmen in the fog in that episode. That was cool.
Again, look back at this draft after Ahsoka's Disney Plus series comes out. This is going to look like a great pick.
Zach over there with all of his futures bets.
Rookie of the year.
Yeah. So that brings us to the end here. Definitely punch for punch here. Look at the rosters. We'll do a rundown here. So look at my roster. I got Darth Sidious. I got Obi-Wan. I got Rey. I got Darth Maul. I got the Mandalorian. I got Poe. And I got Dooku. Zach, want to run down your team here?
Yeah, I've got Darth Vader, Yoda, Luke Skywalker, Mace Windu, Han Solo, Boba Fett, and Ahsoka Tano.
I think it's interesting looking at the structure up and down here. I think you're missing some key elements on your team. This
what
is kind
elements?
Of more just, you know, just general feedback for you, just kind of learn going forward how to do
this
things
is my
better.
First one.
This is a battle royale, Zach, and you got a lot of guys on the good side of the Force. You got Yoda, Luke, Mace, Han, Ahsoka. Boba's kind of in the middle. He's kind of like a hired hand. Has daddy issues. He's kind of all over the place. Darth, kind of back and forth again, like kind of all over the place. Can't decide which side he's on.
Best of both worlds.
I think you got a lot of guys that are either going to be goody two-shoes and not going to be able to get the job done, or they're going to be wishy-washy, not knowing which side they're on. I think you missed out on some straight cold-blooded killers from the Darth side here. I got Sidious. I got Darth Maul. I got Dooku. I got guys that are just going to come in, use that dark side, and it's called out many times throughout the franchise that, you know, in a sense, the dark side can be has a lot more power to it, a lot more raw power that you can tap into. And it's, you got to control yourself to kind of tap into that and stay away from that because it's going to be enticing you. And there's reasons behind that. The Sith Lords are naturally going to be a little bit more powerful, and how can you combat that? So this isn't a charity competition, who's going to be the best goody two-shoes team. This is a fight to the death. And I think you're missing some, like I said, some cold-blooded killers on your team that are just going to go in, have zero remorse, just get the job done.
We're not raising money for families of Alderaan.
No, we're not. That's the second draft.
I don't know. I think you allowed yourself to be too seduced by the dark side of the Force. And you forgot what we've learned
guys.
All along, and you got to have some balance. You got to, the good is always going to win in the end.
I got some balance. I got Obi-Wan, Rey, and Poe, and Mandalorian, but I think I have that other side too. Sometimes you need the yin to the yang.
Definitely not much for team chemistry on your side. trying to coordinate a battle or any kind of strategy, I think is going to be a mess for you.
Well, Sidious is the leader. He's going to lay out the plan.
Yeah, tell everyone what to do, and he's going to have his head too far up his ass, and he's going to let his ego run wild. He's going to be blinded, and eventually he's going to underestimate my team, and my team is going to pull out the win, because that's what we do.
He led the Empire for generations, controlled the entire universe, the entire galaxy, everything under space.
With the help of Darth Vader.
He is a hired hand. What would Vader would have been without Sidious? Not much.
I think he was always one of the best pilots in the galaxy, even before you talk about utility for guys
being able to do both. Padme. Retired on Padme, eating apples, just living out the rest of his life. Sidious made him who he is.
He had a lot of influences. Yoda, Obi-Wan, Sidious. It's all in there. He's got the best of anything. That's why he's the chosen one. You got to take the chosen one in this battle royale.
So I think it's interesting looking at like some of these direct matchups. Okay, let's put Dooku against Ahsoka. I think Dooku has that clear and clear cut out. I mean, he's a Sith Lord against a kind of a apprentice that quit, basically. Poe against Han Solo. I'll give you Han Solo on that one. Mandalorian against Boba. Got to give it to Mandalorian. He's got checkboxes that Boba can't check. Mala Windu, I think, would be a really interesting matchup.
That would be fun. That's a fantasy matchup.
Yeah.
Every fan would want to see.
Yeah, I think I got a lot of respect for Mace. Don't get me wrong. He's a really good fighter, but I think that would be really, really good matchup and to the wire there on who could ultimately take that up, because they're both so skilled. Rey and Luke, I think Rey just has just so much more raw power that she can tap into.
Luke is far more wise. Rey is so naive. She's not going to have the
wise. You want me to bring up his reputation, his resume again, Zach? Almost killed
his
nephew.
He's made some mistakes and he's learned from them. That's how you become wise.
So many character flaws. I could go on and on about Luke, but I don't anger the fan base anymore with my hot takes. But I would give Rey the advantage in terms of pure power. I'll give you this. Let's switch up our top two on each side there. Sidious.
Because Yoda would kick the shit out of Obi-Wan.
Well, Sidious, I think in a straight fight would kick the shit out of Vader. But let's switch it up.
Okay.
I think Sidious and Yoda is the more interesting fight. Would you agree?
I think both are good. But we did see them go head to head.
So you see where I'm going with this, Zach, and you're getting nervous. Because I think Yoda and Sidious would be a really interesting battle. We mentioned they already played out and it was a straight draw, right?
Yeah, yeah,
it was. You want to match up Obi-Wan versus Vader. In their primes going at it, Obi-Wan left Anakin cut down to his knees, burned alive.
That was Anakin Skywalker. He was weak.
He had the higher grounds.
He couldn't beat Darth Vader. Darth Vader was playing the long game and he killed Obi-Wan. Game
over.
And
made him more powerful than you could ever imagine. He didn't kill him. Obi-Wan.
Was he powerful or did he just show up from time to time and give
and destroy the Death Star with his pep talks?
Give Luke like just a little bit of information. Not all the information he needed, just cryptic for no reason.
I mean, I think we're talking about in their primes here for these people, right? And Obi-Wan in his prime just dismantled Vader. And
that's not prime Vader, though. I think Vader became more powerful when
that
he was
30 seconds
Vader.
In Rogue One. Yeah. Yep. That's true.
I'm not wrong about that just because it was 10 seconds.
I'm just saying, I think that Obi-Wan had the better defeat on Vader compared to the last battle when Obi-Wan's basically retired. And he's basically like, okay, I'm going to let you take this so I can just be even more powerful. So I think you start looking at these. What you got to do, Zach, I know it's your first time. I'm trying to go easy on you. But typically at the end of these drafts, you start matching up the teams and seeing who's going to win.
It's also not a series of one-on-one battles. This isn't a King of the Ring tournament.
Well, you got to look at the dominoes.
It's a battle royale. My team meshes together and the strategy that we can put together. I think you do a lot more with my team, with a better pilot, with arguably a better bounty hunter, with Boba Fett, with Jedi who are willing to do what it takes, who are
and then run
extremely
away.
Skilled.
And then run away. Well, we can go back and forth for ages on this. It would never get old. But we got to come to a close here. We got to give it to the fans to decide. I think all in all, this is a great matchup. When I go against Dez, there's a few rounds that he loses his endurance and he starts to fall off the track a little bit and I can just kind of clean up. I can't take breaks with you and I appreciate that. So it's start to finish. It's a bout, heavyweight bout here. And really a lot of good talking points, a lot of ways to break this down with this head-to-head matchup here. Really curious how the fans react and ultimately crown the champion here. But this was a fun one. You came out swinging for your first match. I definitely appreciate it. And we have a few more coming up here. So excited to keep rolling these. We've got a new rivalry started here. Building from the ground up. I love it.
Yeah. Whew. Got all worked up in that one. It's definitely the right subject matter for us to start off of, something we're both passionate about and can really dig into. So that was definitely a lot of fun. I almost wanted to throw some picks like Grogu in there on the basis mm-hmm. that you would have had to kill Grogu, but then I thought to win this you would have killed Grogu, so I didn't pick him.
No way. I almost see that.
I almost picked Jar Jar Binks because we know that he is a Sith Lord. Everyone knows that, and that would have been great value. So
yeah, I think we could have earmarked in kind of a bonus droid pick now that I'm thinking about it. I teased a little bit, but I think that could have been a nice value add too. There's some good ones. Babu Frii would have been a good one to get in there, maybe for my last pick. So Dooku.
I was a fan of Babu Frick.
Yeah. All right. Well, this was a good one. We got another one coming up. We're going to be doing Pokemon. So I'm pretty excited going through the Pokedex now to train and prepare for that one, get my board ready. And appreciate it, Zach. We will catch you on the next one.
May the Force be with you.
And also with you. One.
Peace out.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason. And this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.